Samanavavatu, Samanavunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Where are we? On the bottom. Last verse. Realization of the Lord without energies is Brahman. Realization of the Lord as a subtle being pervading the material universe is Paramatma. Realization of the Lord in full with all qualities is Bhagavan. Okay, so this is important to be, because the subtlety of the difference here is very, very important. Right. Because otherwise, Krishna and Brahman, that's obvious as a difference, but Brahman, Paramatma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, these are more of your difficulty. So the Lord without energies is just, yeah. So then when you're not thinking of that, he's just the Lord, but he's not doing anything or anything like that. So this is your Satya Narayan worshipping Vishnu in the mode of goodness. So it's actually a Brahman understanding. Then, as a subtle being pervading the material universe is Paramatma. He's in everything, between everything. So then you get that aspect of Paramatma, right? And then, yeah. So then, and then when he's in full qualities, that means the qualities means pastimes, interaction. Because right here is that you're taking, means you have name, form, qualities, pastimes. Right? So then you're taking it name as the position of the existence form, then that's what's attractive. So then you have your Sankarshan Prajumna qualities. That would be your your activities, Abhideya. And then your pastimes is then you're looking at the element of the Prayojana, that love and that affection that's being exchanged there. Of course, the qualities means pastimes, but so then you can say the pastimes are the Abhideya and that affection that's there. But here is that we're seeing what is being brought out is that it's the qualities that makes it that Krishna is so attractive, or that one loves him and one interacts with him. Right? It's mentioned that Srila Rupa Goswami is specifically attracted by Krishna's qualities. Right? So the qualities come into the Abhideya position, because his deity is Govindaji, who is the Lord of Abhideya. Right? Does this make sense? So then, yeah. Realization of Bhagavan pervaded by majesty is called Narayana, the Lord of Lakshmi. Realization of the Lord pervaded by sweetness is called Krishna, the Lord of Radha. Kaviraj Goswami says, quote, Radha is the complete energy. Krishna is the complete possessor of energy. This is the correct understanding. So he is the complete energetic. And so she is the complete energy of this energetic. There's no aspect of Krishna that Radharani doesn't have a counterpart for. Right? It's very important, because then that makes it why she is special, because anyone who is her expansion means they will be something less. So there will be aspects of Krishna's personality they don't have counterparts for. Does that make sense? So that means then they can't please in the same way. So on their own, that's why the position is we don't serve on our own. Because on your own, it's going to be less than Radharani. Radharani can serve on her own. But the point is then you have, but the nice part about it, because Krishna is complete, then he and his completeness can be with Radharani and her completeness, and that is as full as it gets. Same time, all the living entities being expanded, then you can add their aspect into the pastime and increase it. Does that make sense? It's not that. It's already included in Radharani. It's Radharani, that full mood is there, plus then the mood of the living entities. Right? So a living entity serving Krishna on their own is going to give Krishna less pleasure than if they assist and serve Radharani. Because then you have, otherwise it's something less than what Krishna is, or it's serving Radharani, it's how, what Krishna is plus more. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. So that's the specialness. Yes.
Well, you just mentioned that Rupa Goswami is especially attracted to Krishna's qualities. So is that the quality in Rupa Goswami which makes him the Abhideya Acharya?
Basically. The whole idea is that then you know specifically what it is, what is the focus, what's the direction. Otherwise, one might choose something else. You know, it's just the pastime, because the pastime is nice, right? But why is the pastime there? Is the pastime there for its own purpose? No, so what is the pastime there for? Anybody?
Krishna's pleasure.
Krishna's pleasure, that's there. That's prayojana. Okay, that's there. But then, what gives Krishna pleasure?
Interaction.
Interaction with the devotees. What are those interactions going to be based on?
Relationship.
Yes, relationship. But how, what's that going to be? What is, it means the relationship is there, but what is it that, why would you be interacting?
Because you like to.
You like, okay, but you like what? What do you like?
The rasa.
Okay, you like the rasa, but what about the rasa? Oh, wow, hey. You know, what do you think of this drink? Wow, great milkshake. What do you like about it? Oh, it's great, you know. You know, I mean, yeah, I know it's great, but what is great about it? Well, it's just a great milkshake, you know. You understand? What about it you like? Oh, the sweetness or the flavor, you know, or this. Those are qualities. You understand? So it's the qualities that make the pastime work. Right? They're appreciating the qualities, right? Does that make sense? So because of appreciating the quality, therefore they want to interact with Krishna according to their rasa. Right? According to their rasa, they will also perceive certain qualities or perceive them in their own particular way. Right? To Mother Jashoda, Krishna is always cute. Right? Does that make sense? That same cuteness to the gopis is called beautiful. You know? So Mother Jashoda sees that attractiveness of Krishna's beauty, and then it invokes the parental ras. The gopis see it, and then it invokes the conjugal ras. The cowherd boys see it, it invokes the sakya ras. So it's the qualities that they're appreciating. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yes.
So Marsh, we can say that rasa is based on qualities? Without qualities, there won't be rasa?
Yeah. Name for qualities, then you have pastimes, right? And when you absorb in the name, right, then comes the form. From the form, then it's qualities. Then from qualities is pastimes, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Putting aside the realization of Brahman and Paramatma as secondary, and covering the majesty of Narayana with sweetness, Krishna endowed with all energy remains the highest truth. Right? So nice, so smoothly that was done, right? This is how he's saying, okay, now putting those aside because they're secondary, and you know, because the majesty, now we've covered that with sweetness. Now we're dealing with Krishna. Right? So he's dealt this, he's exactly delineated everything, and now so smoothly he just then moves on. Right? Because the idea is you want to move on without getting any objections. Otherwise, some people can give objections forever. Right? And then you can't discuss anything. You just got to move past. So that's something very important. Svetasvatara Upanishad says thus, Krishna has no work to perform with material senses, because he has no material body or senses. His body is a completely spiritual form, and thus is not limited in good qualities like a material body. Krishna, endowed with unlimited wonderful qualities, performs eternal pastimes in spiritual Vrindavan. But although he is so, he is still the supreme entity. No other form is equal to or superior to his form, because his form is the abode of all inconceivable energies. It is called inconceivable because, by limited human intelligence, the contradictions cannot be resolved. This inconceivable energy is called the superior energy, para-shakti. Though one, this intrinsic energy takes three forms, jnana, samvit, bala, sandini, and kriya, ladini. Okay, so that was Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8. Right. So he's mentioned in the Vedas, that's the thing, the acharyas pull it out, and it's like it's so obvious. But somehow or another, because they're in with so many other verses like that, somehow or another the jnanis and others, it's not so obvious. They completely miss the point. Because generally, they take, that's why he said, if you take the direct meaning, then it's very obvious what it means. But they'll take the indirect. Well, it doesn't mean actually that there's a spiritual form that it means. You know, they'll try to twist it. So then they can't get the right answer. But here it's very obvious. So many of the Upanishad verses are just talking about Krishna and his personal form and his personal pastimes. Yes?
Did we say they are the meaning because, according to that rule of particular linga, which would that linga. One thing... First, in the text, one point appears for the first time, that is the meaning?
Oh, I mean in the Tatparya Lingas? Yeah. That would be your beginning and end, or what's repeated, you know, or something special like that. So it's we can understand it this way, but they don't, because they don't want to understand it in this way. So they want to be impersonalists, so therefore they're going to take this and give it an indirect meaning, because it doesn't fit. Anything that they find, you know, it's a tattvamasi, that's just a side thing. It's mentioned 8 times in the Chandogya Upanishad in one of the chapters, so therefore then they'll take it as important because it's been repeated, right? So tattvamasi, I am that. But the point is what I am that means that we are Brahman, not that we are God. Right? So for us it's not a Mahavakya at all. But they take that and work with it, you know, and take that's the actual meaning. Then from that, then that's their Mimamsa. They will then interpret everything else according to that. So then when they say he has a form and wonderful qualities, they will say that that's, you know, but then the Krishna within, that's the Brahman. You know, this is outside, it's attractive just so that we'll be interested in Brahman, but then actually, so they twist it. Well, you can see there's so many nice verses that show his position.
You can use the same as a counter argument of that if something is outside beautiful but actually it's not, what's the need of going there?
Why is it the need of going to the internal?
To the Brahman, because if they say it's just outside which is more beautiful to attract, mm-hmm. But inside is just Brahman.
Yeah, but the point is if it's nice, what's the problem with it? That's the difficulty, is their philosophy will be contradictory, right? Because they can't work it out. It says, it is called inconceivable because by limited human intelligence the contradictions cannot be resolved. So Chintabheda-Bheda Tattva can't be used by people who are not devotees. Only those with faith can use it, because then they can work with two things that are contradictory in the same place at the same time. People with logical brains, they can't work that out. Right? It doesn't make sense. It all has to make nice, you know, fits in the box logic, and then they can accept it, right? But the problem is then they're worrying about something that actually isn't so important, you know. And what is important, then it's the reconciling these contradictions. Right? So because they can't do that, then they'll busy themselves with other things that are less important. Because that'll make sense to them. So therefore they can't understand rasa, because rasa means there's contradictions. Thus in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, one who knows the real feature of Sri Krishna and his three different energies cannot remain ignorant about him. The Chit Shakti, which is also called Sarup Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, displays many varied manifestations. It sustains the kingdom of God and its paraphernalia. The external energy called Maya Shakti is the cause of innumerable universes with varied material potencies. The marginal potency, which is between these two, consists of numberless living beings. These are the three principal energies which have unlimited categories and subdivisions. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 2, 96, 104, 101 to 104. So here when he's saying the three energies, he's not talking about Samvit, Sandini, Hladini. He's talking about, you know, the internal, external, and marginal. Right? So in here, so the Chit Shakti is also Sarup Shakti, or Antaranga. So internal, but Chit means the Sarup means it's complete, it's the same as him. Right? So that means this, how much is there in him, then it's the complete energy. Right? That makes sense? Because he is generating energy, so how much he is, that much energy has been generated. Does that make sense? It's equal. Otherwise, it's a portion of that. Just like he expands as Vishnu. And then he's manifesting only portions of his personality, or of his qualities. So same way as then the internal potency, as it expands, it's only manifesting certain parts of its qualities.
So if one is like worshipping Satya Narayan, that without energies, that means that there cannot be possible any interaction?
No.
Not possible.
There's well, they're seeing that Brahman is the highest, but just they like to get to Brahman through worshipping Vishnu.
That's the point.
Yeah. Just like in South India, you have the Guruvayur temple. Guruvayur? The Guruvayur. Yeah, the Guruvayur.
One is
Guruvayur. There, that's established by Shankaracharya, the worship. They sing Gita Govinda to the deities, they take them out on elephant procession, they have really nice, nice worship. Very famous. But they're all Shankarites, they're all impersonalists. The whole point is that they do acknowledge that bhakti is one of the ways you can get to the Brahman platform. Right? But, you know, they take it as the lower, the more general for the common people and for the very elevated and intelligent like that. You know, the ones that are intelligent that they can't resolve these. The intelligent ones with the limited human intelligence. They think then the jnana is the higher, so... Then, even though Shankaracharya established the worship there, the present Shankaracharya, sitting on the seat, when he goes to the temple, won't go inside. You know, because, you know, God's everywhere. Why I should go to the temple? Right? But if he's everywhere, he could also be in the temple. You know, but, you know, they're not, that's the whole point. They're limited human intelligence. They're not so smart. Right? Because they have their own, but they want to be God, so they won't go before God. Because it's, how do you say? It kind of throws them off. God has a better resume, so it's a little, you want to not be in the same room with him, right? Does that make sense? Okay. Yes?
So some Madhvas, they say that, they say about ISKCON devotees, they say, you should chant Hare Krishna in this lifetime. So you'll take next lifetime as Madhva, then you can go back to God.
Yeah, but no, it's like that. Yes, you can do that. Then after 14 births, then you'll go back to Godhead. They should say that. While we say, we'll chant Hare Krishna this lifetime, we'll go back to Godhead, and after you've finished your 14 lifetimes, we'll be waiting there for you. You know, we'll say hello. Lord Krishna naturally has three energetic transformations, And these are known as the spiritual potency, the living entity potency, and the illusory potency. C.C. Madhyalila 20, 111. Then there's a karika to elaborate on this. In the scriptures, Krishna's three intrinsic energies are described as Bala, Sandini, Jnana, Samvit, and Kriya, Ladini. Okay, Bala, Jnana, and Kriya. Right, so this is very nice because he's connected those three here exactly what they are. Because otherwise, some like the Shris use this a lot, Bala, Jnana, and Kriya, like that. Also, when we get into really technical stuff, you have the same. So Bala, your means there also is your Shakti, your how you say the virya and that, you know, then that's what everything's established on. Then Jnana, then with that proper knowledge, you perform activities. Like that. And Kriya, the Hladini, then it's going to be, that's in interaction with that is where your activities are going to happen. So you can see his interest is in the Kriya Shakti, right? Because that's where activity is happening. The energies and sources of the energies are non-different. This is the conclusion of the scriptures. However, through the operation of the inconceivable energy of the Lord, variety becomes manifest. The function of the Sandini existence, Shakti, is manifestation of name, form, and qualities of things. This brings about the material existence through Sandini's material function and spiritual existence through its spiritual function. Right? Here's also the thing where we're saying that the Sandini, Samvit, and Vladini then reflect as in the three modes of nature. So the Sandini will be the will reflect as the mode of ignorance. So here he's saying it's the same energy. Then is when in its spiritual function, then is Sandini, and in its material function is then will give the material manifestation. So that will be the ignorance, right? Because existence is spiritual in the spiritual world, and existence here is ignorance. Right? We're in the material world because of being ignorant of our relationship with the Lord. If we're not in ignorance, you're not here, right? Jnana also has two varieties, spiritual material samvit. Similarly, there are spiritual material hladini energies, which give rise to spiritual material pleasure. The hladini shakti is the dear servant of Krishna. She becomes Radha, the daughter of Vrishabhanu, in manifesting Mahabhav, the highest ecstasy of spiritual love. Right, so here he's shown the reflection, right? Krishna has only one intrinsic energy called the superior energy, para shakti. This energy creates variety in the spiritual world and increases the varieties of bliss. Right? So notice here, variety is increasing the variety, so it's always changing and creating various ways in which it can be tasted. Right? So Krishna is God, so he likes that. Right? In the material world, and he's always in control. In the material world, then the living entity, it's a problem that the reflection of this internal potency, the Hladini Shakti, creates variety. Right? So that's why it's then seen that in this world, then the feminine energy is not consistent. Right? Does that make sense? It's like that to create variety. But you have to be God to actually be able to appreciate it. Right? So that's why in this world, it's you perform your duties properly, and then from that platform, you'll be able to appreciate. You don't perform your duties properly, you'll go crazy. Was that too subtle?
It's too direct.
It was too direct. He says too direct, he says it's too subtle. Does that make sense? Yeah. In other words, men want to control women, but women are always changing, so they can't get control, and they think this is very annoying. But that's why they're created, because they create unlimited variety for Krishna. So you want to try to be Krishna, which you're not, then, you know, go for it. Right? So therefore, it's only through duty, which is how you're going to serve Krishna by proper performance of your duties, then you can appreciate that variety. As a servant of Krishna, you can appreciate it. But as trying to be the control and enjoyer, you'll never appreciate it. Because you can't get it under your control. You understand? The energy is always under Krishna's control. Does that make sense? Yes.
How do we create the variety for Krishna?
How do we create the variety for Krishna? We assist and serve the internal potency. Right? They create it. We do what we're supposed to do. And if we're serving them, then we get the proper intelligence. Right? In other words, they know how to create it. We simply assist in it. That's our position. We're not the creators of it. We're the assisters in it. Right? The internal potency, they create the variety. We assist in that. Right? But being feminine by nature, then it's very natural to be able to work in that environment. Does that make sense? But as a servant. Right? So neither are we God or are we the head servant. Right? Both are in personal positions. I am God or I am the devotee. That's why we never think I am a devotee. We always think I am servant of devotees. Does that make sense? We call others devotees, but we always think of ourselves as servants of the devotees. Does that make sense? Through the influence of this energy, though the influence of this energy is infinite, from the point of view of the jiva, it appears to have three functions, as the chit-shakti, the jiva-shakti, and maya-shakti. The influence of the three energies are described in many places in the Vedas. Sweta Savataro describes the chit-shakti manifestation thus. The verses of the Rig Veda describe the indestructible spiritual sky, where all the devas reside. Of what use are the Vedas to a person who does not know this fact? Those who understand this have been successful. Sweta Savataro Upanishad 4.8. Right, so there's one, his transcendental potency. So as there is one Krishna, there is one transcendental potency. Right? Krishna expands, she expands. So this way you get, you know, so many manifestations. But technically, there's only, in that way, one energy. The energetic and the energy. Right? But the jiva sees it in three. Right? Because one functions as a jiva in the material world, so one needs to see the three, because there is the material, there is the spiritual, and you have the choice. Right? But once one's made that choice, and one is in the fire of the internal potency, then one doesn't see three. Does that make sense? There is a Karika. Quote, the Parashakti, described in the Vishnu Purana, is called the Srup Shakti in philosophical discussions. Okay, so then Parashakti and Srup Shakti are the same. Right? That's important also. See, you have so many ways the words are used, but they're used in different meanings. But it's the same word. They're like, synonyms. Like that. So depending upon what angle you're taking, you use a particular synonym. Much of the time, these various synonyms are thought of as completely different concepts. No, they're different views on the same concept. So it's very important here that the Acharya pulls these together and makes the connections. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, it becomes very, very difficult how to work all these out. This is likewise explained in the Sweta Svatara Upanishad. Quote, the one possessor of energy appears as the controller of all causes, along with the jiva and time. The persons absorbed in yoga meditation have seen this personal energy of the Lord, Atma Shakti, which is surrounded by its expansions. Sweta Svatara 1.3. Okay, so here it's also been called the Atma Shakti. Okay, because then you know what they're talking about. Okay, there is a karika concerning the Maya Shakti. quote, in the Vishnu Purana, what is called the energy of avidya karma is called Maya Shakti in Vedic texts. Okay, Sweta Svatara Upanishad 4.8 says, whatever is glorified in the Vedas, such as yajnas, chanting Rig Vedas, Ashwamedha Kratu, vows such as Chandrayana, is created by the Supreme Person, controller of Maya. The jiva is bound by the same Maya. So whatever is glorified, whatever is proper activity to do in the Vedas, that is created by the Supreme Lord. Right? He also is in control of the Maya, which the living entity is under the control of. So if you want to be able to perform those proper activities, then you must take shelter of the Lord. Taking shelter of the Lord means you're going to do that through His internal potency. Right? Does that make sense? Concerning the Tathasta Shakti, there is a Karika. Quote, the energy called Kshetra Gya, mentioned in the Vishnu Purana, is the Tathasta Shakti or Jiva Shakti. Through this Shakti, unlimited jivas appear. Sweta Siftara Upanishad says, the unborn person, jiva, is serving the unborn material nature, which generates numerous material bodies for the living entities, and is composed of goodness, passion, and ignorance. The other unborn person, Paramatma, is detached from the enjoyment of material nature. Okay, so now you're dealing with Upanishad. So therefore you're dealing here now with the Lord, the jiva and the supersoul. Soul and supersoul, like two birds sitting in the tree, because this is an Upanishadic presentation. So then the unborn person, he's the jiva, right? He's serving the unborn material nature. Right? So this material nature generates unlimited bodies through which the jiva then serves this material energy. The other unborn then is the Supreme Lord, right? And he's not connected with this material enjoyment, right? The jiva is, the Supreme Lord's not, right? So then you get the distinction. The whole cosmic order, this is Bhagavad Gita, the whole cosmic order is unto me. By my will it is manifest again and again, and by my will it is annihilated at the end. Bhagavad Gita 9.8. Then 9.10. This material energy is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Then Bhagavad Gita 7.4-5. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which are all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Right? Because here then one wonders, if they're struggling with it, how are they sustaining it? Right? That they're sustaining it, meaning that because of their desire, then the energy is working. Otherwise, it's dead matter. It does nothing. So because of their desire, then the Lord has arranged that all this is going on. Right? That makes sense. Through these three energies, the spiritual world, material world, and the jivas make their appearance. In these three energies, the influence of Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini are present. In the realm of Chit Shakti, the Sandini gives rise to qualities, the objects, and all other things which assist in the Lord's pastimes. Okay, the qualities, the objects, all the things which assist. Krishna's form, name, qualities, and pastimes are all due to the Sandini potency. By the influence of the Samvit Shakti on the Chit Shakti, all the spiritual moods arise. Okay. By the Haladini influence on the Chit Shakti, Prema expands. Okay. By the influence of the Sandini on the Jiva Shakti, the Jiva's spiritual here we're taking Chit Shakti as meaning the Sarup Shakti, right? The internal potency, because also then Sambit can be called chit, right? So here also we have to catch that sometimes these words have multiple applications. And so then you have to use one of them because they're all synonymous. And so you have to use one of them in certain situations. So if you're only using one, it works. But if you have to use two, then there's a problem, right? So here, in any case, he's used chit. So then the chit, in the realm of chit, then you have sandini. And that gives rise to the qualities and objects of other things. So in other words, the situation in which it will be, the elements of the pastime, the field of activities. Okay, influence of the... Okay, then the samvit makes all the moods, because by interacting you get moods, right? So that's the important thing, is that an action generates an experience, right? So all the moods will come up from that. And then, by the hladini, then you get prema. Right? So then, from this, then it will generate those experiences then which create prema. Right? You got name, form, qualities, pastimes that creates the attraction. Then you have the activity where they interact, you'll get your experience. From that experience then generates prema. Does that make sense? So that attraction to something, that interaction with it, the experience generated from that interaction creates the love. Does that make sense? Yes, no?
Yes.
You know, from what we were discussing before. Like that. Okay. By the influence of Sandini on Maya Shakti, the material universe composed of 14 material planetary systems, the gross and subtle bodies of the jivas and material senses, and the goals of the jivas such as svaga. Svaga? It should be svarga. Are manifested. The material name, form, qualities, and actions of the conditioned jivas all arise from this. Right? So that means they're inherent natures. Right? That's the thing. So that's why the Dharma has that element, is that it establishes what is the nature. Then based on that, then you have the interaction. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, having the qualities, that's the sandini. Using them, that's the sambit. Right? In other words, having them, that's there, and that can create attraction. But when you apply them, then that generates an experience. Right? Moods come up from that. Right? And from that, then can be generated prema. Does this make sense? Yeah? Okay, so that means everything in the universe that is there, all the gross aspects of it, then all the name, form, qualities, and actions of the conditioned jivas all also come from this. In other words, so that also is your split in the two divisions of the sambandha, right? Or here, the sandini in this case. Then you have the field, meaning the gross aspect of it. Then you have the specific elements, the name, form, qualities, and actions. Because that's what creates the attraction. Right? What it is, that's the sankarshan aspect. But what is attractive of that, that's the prajumna aspect. Does that make sense? Right? Doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? He's worried if he opens his mouth, he'll say something stupid.
Completely doesn't make sense.
Completely doesn't make sense.
Personally.
To you personally.
Yeah.
But what about to you impersonally? Doesn't make sense. Because the gyan happens on the impersonal path. Maybe it's just you're caught up in all the emotions with the personal, so you're not able to see the higher path of knowledge.
Of clarity and understanding.
Yes, by the limited, human intelligence. Does that make it any better? Don't you remember all the discussions on Sankarsha Prajumna Ariyura and Vasudev? Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. So these are all we're doing is getting fine details within this. Right? Because through this one can appreciate and understand how rasa works, how relationships work. Because the point is the same energy functions has two functions, spiritual and material. Because there's only one energy. Right? But that one energy has three aspects. So when the one aspect is being applied, then it generates one thing, and another one's applied, it generates something else, and the other one, the third. But now they can be applied in the material or in the spiritual. See what I'm saying? So in other words, the one potency can be applied spiritually or materially, right? And that one potency has these three aspects, so you get three aspects within the spiritual, three aspects in the material, right? Does that make sense? And at the same time, you have, when you look at it as the other kind of three parts, then you have, you know, you have internal and external, you have the jiva. So the jiva can appreciate the three different manifestations within the material or the three different manifestations within the spiritual. Does that make sense? This is why you need a chintabheda-veda tattva, is to be able to hold all that together at once. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, within the sandini, there's two basic divisions. Means the gross forms of everything and the position and placement of everything. The other is its name, its form, its quality, its pastime. You know, I mean, its activity, right? Specifically what that is. That's what makes you interested to deal with the field. You know what I'm saying? So that's what then generates the prajumna. Then from that, then you apply those qualities, right, in Abhideya.
That's Vasudeva.
Yes, that's Vasudeva. And that will then generate the you know, all the various moods that happen in interaction. That will generate love. That generates the prema. Does that make sense? So material action, by that, generates the moods of material, you know, lust. Those moods of that which culminate in lust. So therefore, there's more desire for more material activity. Therefore, you give up material activity, you connect it to Krishna, it can't generate lust. Right? So if it's direct, it'll bring you closer to prema. If it's not, if you're using the indirect, then you know, seeing Krishna's potencies in that, then it won't generate lust, but it will destroy the lust. In other words, it has to move from lust to love. Right? So between the lust and the love, there must be a middle point, right? There's always a sandhi. So that's the point of liberation. Right? So then you remove the material desire, bring it to the neutral, but by continuing the same process, it brings you to the spiritual. Right? So in the same way that internal potency will remove the material and it will establish you in the spiritual. It will remove the lust, it will generate the prema.
Direct and indirect, that refers to the whether you see Krishna directly or...
You see his energies working in how the material creation is...
And you don't see him.
You can see him, why can't you see him? The point is you'll start off...
When if you see him, then he's direct.
Yes, but the point is from the indirect it turns to direct. But the tendency is when you're dealing with the indirect, that kind of like fills up your, you know, range of intelligence at the time. That's why it's called jnana yoga. But by that practice, because its purpose is bhakti yoga, it will transform into it, because we see there's a non-difference in the potencies. So any one can bring you to the other, right? Because it's the same potency. and your purpose is the same, so therefore dealing with the reflection can bring you to the reality. But you have to deal with the reflection understanding it's Krishna's potency, and it's the same potency as the spiritual. Therefore, if you deal with it as that same potency only manifests in its material function, then that same potency will give you the spiritual result rather than the material.
Like making asat.
Basically, it's something is only asat because you don't see Krishna in it. Otherwise, it's just part of the same energy. You know what I'm saying? You have electricity. It runs the refrigerator. It runs the heater. It's the same energy. So that's all. It works on both sides. That's what Prabhupada's talking about. It works on both. Mahamaya, Yogamaya are the same person. Right? She's also Sarup Shakti. It's another aspect of. But it's taking the position where the mood is that of the chit potency rather than the hladini. When Sarup Shakti takes the mood of Hladini, it's Radharani. When it's of Chit, it's Yogamaya. You understand? So that reflects here as Mahamaya. So therefore, dealing with the Mahamaya in connection with Krishna, then that means that you'll deal with that person then as Yogamaya. And it will give you spiritual result. But that's why it's so hair-splitting, because if you don't get the split right, you end up on the wrong side of the fence. You know what I'm saying? You could miss the whole point, and instead of getting yourself out of the material world, you get yourself deeper in. It's just like you have a very sharp knife. You use it right, it works excellently and does your job. But you use it wrong, you get very badly cut. So that's why such technical points are being brought up, so you don't get cut.
So on any point in the material world, one can have Krishna's the goal?
Yes.
Like you always have to focus, whatever you do, whatever is there.
Yes, that's why he says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in charity, do it as an offering to me. He said, whatever you do. He didn't just say only some of the things. He said, whatever you do.
Everything.
Right. But the point is that everything, you're having to see through it to Krishna. It's not go, oh, everything means I can ride around on my motorbike, you know, and like that. So, but the point is you think it's a motorbike, but it's not the motorbike. It's Krishna that's attractive about it. You know what I'm saying? That's why these things are so hair-splitting. Because if you don't get them right, you will end up, you know, God only knows where. That's why a lot of times you keep it simple. Because this is a spiritual treatise to understand God, but then if we use it to try to, justify our material attachments, you miss the whole point. Because the point is when you're justifying your material attachments, you're dealing with material attachments, and they stay material attachments. You're not justifying, you're recognizing they're there and connecting them to Krishna according to His rules, not your rules. That's what frees you. So it's very, very fine. That's why the divisions here are so fine, because it says it's a razor's edge. So that's how fine the divisions have to be made. Right? And this is Dasamul. This is the stuff you learn before you get initiated. Yeah, so we'll end here. We're over time. The monsters will be coming down very soon. We continue then, what, on Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.
With a focus for your spiritual advancement. towards Krishna. That's the highest dharma.
Yes, that's the whole point.
And this
but it can't maintain the attitude that I'm going to be the enjoyer here. It has to be that that's what it is. You can't just say it, you have to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell the person, yeah, I'll do that for you. But until you do it, it's not done. So it says the focus. So what are you focusing on?
Focus on Krishna.
Yes, then it works like that. So if you don't focus on Krishna, then it'll act as material energy. Because you always have to remember the same potency has two forms.